Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
How good is it to be together? My wife thinks so. How good is it to be together? Okay. We'll just get a couple of things out the way. I mean, you are familiar with Josh and Kelly, fellow Americans, but I'm from Texas as well. And so I might be walking around a little bit up the stairs and down the stairs. It's okay. We can interact in church. Yes? Okay, great. There's a little bit quiet over there, so I might go over there. I'm just wondering as well, is there like a bunch of popcorn in that little section right there? Because it seems to be seats vacated in that area. So I might go stand over there as well. But it is a joy and a privilege to be with y'all here today, genuinely. And I'm so excited that I'm going to be able to speak on a day of Pentecost, on Pentecost Sunday, because it is not just a message, but it's a reality that has transformed my life. See, I'm very aware that I am in need of the Holy Spirit. There are skills and gifts and experiences and different things that God's given to me, but all those things fall utterly short unless the Holy Spirit is moving through me, through us. We need the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Awesome. You can go ahead and open your Bible to Acts. If you don't have your Bible with you today, some of the scripture will come up on the screen, but I'd encourage you to take notes today. Don't normally take notes, because I'm believing that there's going to be something specific God's going to speak to each one of us about that we will begin and continue to reflect upon, go deeper in, but then also a little bit later on that we're going to have a time of encounter. But I'd encourage you to take notes today. I heard a story about how there is a store owner who sold a farmer a chainsaw. And the farmer came in because he had some trees on his property that he needed to get rid of. And so he comes in looking for a way to get rid of those trees. And so the storefront owner says, I've got this chainsaw here. It's excellent. It can at least chop down 50 trees a day. And the farmer's like, 50 trees a day? That's awesome. Give me that chainsaw. And so he takes the chainsaw, he goes home, and begins to do work. But a week later, this farmer comes into the store again, absolutely livid, frustrated to a T. He throws the chainsaw on the counter and says, this is rubbish. Give me my money back. There's no way that this chainsaw can cut down 50 trees a day, because I've tried and it max can do 3 trees a day. Storefront owner's like, that's odd. Takes a chainsaw, he looks at it, looks like it's all good condition. He pulls the cord back, and sure enough, it starts to make that familiar noise. All of a sudden, when that happens, the farmer jumps back and he's like, what is that noise? What did you do? How did you do that? And how is the blade moving on the chainsaw? If you don't know the story, he obviously didn't know that there's a motor and power to the chainsaw. And so he had been using a chainsaw, literally trying to chop down trees. Pretty funny story. Unfortunately, that can actually be an illustration of what it looks like to be a Christian without the revelation and the reality of being immersed in the Holy Spirit. And we can go through the motions of following Jesus and reading the word and putting it into practice, and it can feel like we're doing all these things with no fruitfulness or no effect. And that's because we need the Holy Spirit. See, we need the Holy Spirit to be able to follow the word of God, to begin to even desire to follow the word of God. Philippians 2:13 says it's only by the Holy Spirit that we first have a desire to do God's will, and then it's only by the Holy Spirit that we're able to then follow that desire. See, you and I need the Holy Spirit, and we've been called to testify of the gospel. We've been called to share with the world, as we've already heard today, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. But unless you and I not only have a revelation, but an encounter, and then a daily reality of being filled, immersed, and marked by the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to effectively live out our faith in Jesus Christ. This is the significance of Pentecost. You know, the late Billy Graham, the well-known evangelist, was quoted as saying this: 95% of today's church activities and for a believer would continue if the Holy Spirit were removed from us. And yet in the early church, at least 95% of all of the church's activities would have stopped if the Holy Spirit were removed. Friends, you and I must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You want to know why? You want to know why?
Yes.
Because we need the supernatural power of God.
Yeah.
In Acts 1, it says that Jesus presented himself alive to them, the disciples, after his suffering by many proofs. And he appeared to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Listen to this, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Have you ever read that and begun to ask yourself, if you were to put yourself in the disciples' shoes, why must they wait? Like, we understand now the day of Pentecost. We understand now that it was better that Christ ascended so that his Spirit would fill all flesh and all followers. But as I read that, sometimes I stop and ask myself the question, surely they would have had some experience in moving in the supernatural power of God. I mean, they followed Jesus for 3 years, day in and day out, firsthand like this, flesh before flesh in front of you, seeing Jesus healing bodies, seeing people raised from the grave. Like, they were following. They had seen it with their own eyes. They had even at different points in times been given authority to go out, preach the gospel, and see themselves have other people before them healed of their sicknesses. And so I've read this and I've begun to wonder, why would they need to wait if this group of disciples for 3 years had followed Jesus and walked with him day in and day out and had seen it firsthand and even been a part of it? Why would they need to wait? We see the answer isn't just about them personally, but for the church globally and from generation to generation. See, the reason why they needed to wait is because Jesus was required, he was needed to ascend to heaven, and it was him ascending that God would send out his Holy Spirit to not just fill people for a moment, but them to be immersed in this supernatural, tangible evidence of God. And what was true for them is just as true for you and I today.
Yeah.
Newman College is great. Bible college, awesome. Life group, required. Studying the Word of God personally, a necessity. But if we are not immersed in the Holy Spirit, you and I will be at a point in time where we're going to hit a wall in our faith. We're going to realize we're ineffective in the gospel sharing, or we're going to come up to persecution and we're going to just tap out because it's just way too hard.
Yeah.
See, Hannah and I are under a very real awareness that we're moving to a city where there's hostility towards the gospel.
Yeah.
But you know what the truth is? The gospel is needed just as much in Blackburn and Doncaster as it is in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And there's some people in your city, in your neighborhood, in your street, in your workplace, in your school, in your home that need to see you moving in the supernatural power of God. You know, one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit is to transform us to become more and more like Jesus. The Bible calls it sanctification. To be more and more like Jesus. That is a primary purpose. But the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit immersion or being baptized in the Holy Spirit is to bring us into the realm of the supernatural. Sanctification is a supernatural work.
Yep. Yeah.
It's not through self-help or self-will. It's a supernatural work, the Holy Spirit working in us and through us that we have to be surrendered to. But the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into the realm of the supernatural. Yeah. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a supernatural gospel. And if we're going to testify of a supernatural gospel, then friends, we need to be moving in the supernatural. Jesus, in Luke 4, it says, in the power of the Spirit, he actually returned from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on at a point where he was in the synagogue and he reads a scripture and he says these words. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then after that, he goes on to declare that that scripture had been fulfilled in him. Guess what? He said he was anointed. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. The Spirit in him. And now at Pentecost and since that day as followers, we're to be immersed so that we are anointed. Why? For the sake of people being set free. Yeah. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I read that, I'm like, thank God. For I decided, he said, to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In verse 4, it says, and my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom in this world or man, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that, listen to this, verse 5, in 1 Corinthians 2, so that, Pneuma East, your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. If Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, ministered in the power of the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul and the other disciples and leaders of the church ministered in the power of God, and in the early church, we see, was taught, discipled, and learned that they needed to move in the supernatural power of God. Why would we think anything different today? The word power in language here is the word dunamis. Maybe some of you have heard that before. It's where we get the word dynamite, and it's a really important word. It's used about 120 times in the New Testament in itself, speaking about the things of God, the people of God, moving by the Spirit of God. And it speaks of miraculous power, might, and strength. I don't know if you've ever seen anything blown up by dynamite, but it's pretty hard to not tell when someone's lit a thing of dynamite and it explodes. Like, it's obvious. Like, something moves. Something happens. And that's in a destructive sense. And so the Bible's not talking about it in a destructive sense, but it's talking about it in a supernatural sense. Yeah. When the Spirit of God upon us and through us, there's meant to be an evidence of the dunamis, the Holy Spirit's power working through us. And so for us as believers, it's not a theoretical teaching. It's a reality to be lived out. Yeah. It's meant to be something that is impacting our day today, where we're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that the early church recognized the need to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. We read all throughout Acts, which is the connection between the Gospels and the rest of the Testament, about how the early church was desperate for the presence of God, desperate for the Holy Spirit to be moving upon them. We see in Acts 4, there's a point where two of the apostles, disciples, had moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. A man had been healed, and they were told to no longer teach the gospel, no longer share the gospel. But they said, how be it from us that we cannot share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And they get together in Acts 4, and what do we see? They cry out to God, and they say, God, would you fill us with courage and boldness to preach your word? And in that moment, the whole place shook. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder today, What would you do if this entire room just began to shake? I mean, there's lights flickering on and off right now. Some of you might be getting freaked out by that. Like, there's lights. What's going on? What if the entire place is shook? See, the thing about the supernatural presence of God is it's supernatural. It actually goes past natural intellect, past natural thinking, past natural comprehension. And I just wonder if you can get the picture to see for you and I, as followers of Jesus, if we're going to move in the supernatural power of God and supernatural things of God, we have to actually get okay with things looking maybe a little bit weird sometimes.
Yeah.
And a little bit different.
Yeah.
I'm not saying be weird. It's not making things happen out of your own effort or strength. But what if God asked you to do something that wasn't comfortable for you? I was getting an Uber ride home the other day, and absolutely wrecked me. So if I get a little bit emotional, you know why. I was in an Uber the other day. Uber driver, I just wanted to go to sleep, to be honest. I was like, I'm going to put my phone on, earphones in. Before I could do that, thankfully, he began to ask me questions about what I do in life, this and that, all kind of stuff. And I said, I'm a Christian. He's like, you're a Christian? He just about stopped the car. He's like, do many people in Australia even go to church? I was like, yeah, like there's thousands. And he's like, really? Because I don't see any Christians going to church on Sundays. And I said, how long have you been in Australia? He's from India. He said, 2.5 years. 2.5 years. So I began asking him some questions. In 2.5 years, I was the first knowing Christian that this man had met.
Wow.
2.5 years. And it absolutely broke my heart.
Yeah.
Because we're leaving in just under 5 weeks. And my question to God was, how could it be a man in a city like Melbourne has never met another Christian in 2.5 years?
Yeah.
My oldest brother is not in a relationship with Jesus Christ yet. And about 3 years ago, as he was driving around LA with his job, because Hannah and I are praying, believing for salvation, I was, for the first time in 12 years in November, able to share my testimony with him because he's actually open to it. But about 3 years ago, he was driving around in Lyft. It's kind of like Uber but in America. And he calls me after he picks somebody up and he says, hey, brother, I just thought you'd find this story encouraging. I was like, what's that? He's like, someone just got into my car and they asked me if they could share something with me. And I said, yeah, go ahead, share something with me. And he's like, and this absolute stranger began to tell me about my life, and they had no idea who I was.
Wow.
They began to tell me a picture they had of my life. And I asked them, how do you know these things? And how do you see this picture? And the person said, well, it's because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that God, through his spirit, enables us to be able to see things for people that would help them see that he's a supernatural God. My brother in Los Angeles had someone invade his world because they were okay with getting a little bit comfortable. My question for us, Numa East, is are you okay with getting a little bit uncomfortable? Because there's people that need to see you and me moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I came to have a revelation that I needed the gospel, not because someone was saying clever things or being funny, but because someone was ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit who began to work on my heart and open up my heart to the revelation to me that I needed the gospel. I needed what they were talking about. I didn't know all the answers of what they're saying, but what I did know is that there was something different on that man's life. And as he was sharing, something began to open up in my heart. And I responded to the gospel because there's a person who is open to moving in the supernatural power of God.
Come on. So good.
See, too many people in our world, as I once did, think that Jesus is irrelevant because they haven't encountered a person moving the supernatural power of God.
Yeah.
My prayer is that past today, there wouldn't be another person like that man in the Uber ride that would live in this city your suburb, your neighborhood, that would leave and say, I never met a Christian in my life.
Yeah, come on.
Because reality is, friends, there is a building being built in Blackburn.
Come on.
But it's currently a building you have right now.
Yes.
It's Village Cinemas
in
Doncaster.
Come on.
Shopping town. Too many people not yet encountering God. And yet I believe today the Holy Spirit's doing something. He's highlighting something. He's speaking life.
Yeah.
You know, Shane Willard, who was here a couple of weeks, said a sermon's not meant to just make us feel good.
Yeah.
It's meant to draw us into a closer relationship with God.
Yeah.
For us to wrestle with something and mull upon it. And the Bible says all scripture is useful, breathed out by God for encouraging, correcting, exhorting. I believe today the Holy Spirit wants to exhort us and correct some maybe misbeliefs that we've had in following Jesus. You know, I've had the greatest adventure of my life since choosing to follow Jesus. It's been one of the hardest, but the most satisfied, content feeling in my entire life in Jesus Christ. And not just for me personally, but since the day that that person spoke and moved in the power of the Holy Spirit, I've had the amazing privilege and testimony to see the evidence before my eyes of people's bodies being healed of cancer.
Yeah.
Of relationships being restored, of hearts being softened and to receive the gospel, of minds being free from depression, of people's souls literally that have been bound by demonic influence being set free, of wombs evidently being opened because couples being told they would never have a child or IVF was the only way. See, we are called to live in the supernatural reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's not something at times that is feeling good, but it is necessary that you and I move in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit? We are marked by the Spirit of God. Jesus said in Acts 1:5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in Acts 2, we see that when the day of Pentecost came, there was a moving literally in the heavens, but there's a manifesting on earth like a wind, like tongues of fire, came upon the people. And then they began to speak in unknown languages. It was heard by those that were in that city. They gathered together. They said, what is this? Aren't these people Galileans? How are they speaking in our foreign, unknown languages? See, when the day of Pentecost came, the people were marked. They were immersed in the Holy Spirit. See, this word being immersed, being baptized, is the word baptizo. And the word itself speaks of something being marked by what it is in. It's the same process, baptizo, that's spoken about a fabric that's dyed in something else. And so it's like you take a pair of jeans that are, let's say, white, a particular fabric, and you want to dye them blue. And so what you do is you baptizo them. You put them into the dye. You put them in the container, and you leave them there. But what happens with that fabric and that color, that white color, when you pull it out, is it's no longer just a white fabric. It takes on the characteristics of what it's been immersed in. And so you pull it out, and you can literally say that those genes have been marked by what it was baptized in.
So good.
Two baptisms absolutely necessary in following Jesus is water baptism. It's being immersed into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you have baptisms, weeks gone, weeks coming, when you put someone fully in water and they come back out, you don't need to ask them if they've been fully immersed in water because they are dripping wet. And so you've got cloths and you got towels. You don't need to ask someone who's been immersed in water baptism. And not only that, but then after that, there's evidence of them following Jesus by the maturity in their life. And the second is baptism in the Holy Spirit. See, baptism in the Holy Spirit is when a believer is immersed in the characteristics of God.
Wow.
The person of God. I heard an illustration recently of how it's like a cup that's filled, but it's not just filled to the brim. A cup's not full until it's overflowing. And so it's full and overflowing. So you and I, as believers, are called to be marked by the Holy Spirit. Bible says in Galatians 5 that it's fruit of the Holy Spirit, characteristics of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not only that, but there's gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of prophecy, words of knowledge, miracles, healing, signs and wonders. There's the gift of faith. There's things that are of the Holy Spirit. You can't go to the shop like Rebel Sport and pick up some gifts of healing. No, you need to go to the source. You can only be immersed in the source of the Holy Spirit. And so if we're going to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, we actually need to be immersed to take on the characteristics of the Spirit of God to then live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't go anywhere else but the Spirit of God to be immersed in it to receive the characteristics of the supernatural presence of God at work. Good. And if this is so important, we need to recognize that there's always going to be evidence.
Yeah.
See, when the day of Pentecost came, they weren't just waiting around being like, well, there's some lights flickering over there. So Pastor Luke, does that mean I'm filled now? I've got some tingles in my body. So does that mean I've been filled with the Holy Spirit? They began speaking in unknown languages. There's evidence before their eyes. Same question can be had today. Pastor Don, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Was there evidence? If something was so important, why would God leave it to chance for us to understand that we've been immersed in the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
As I've been saying, there's a marking. There's something that's an evidential fact, a manifestation that's happened when you've been filled and immersed with the Holy Spirit. And yet the same question comes today. Have I been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have I been immersed? And part of it's coming to understand what it looks like to be immersed. The other part of it is encountering and just surrendering and allowing God to reveal himself that you've been immersed. And we're going to have time for that today, but the Bible we see all throughout the New Testament shows us that every single time a person is immersed or baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's evidence. Go ahead, study the Bible yourself. Read each and every verse throughout Acts and then the rest of the New Testament. And when someone is filled or immersed in the Holy Spirit, there is evidence every single time. And the evidence is either stated directly or indirectly, but every single time there was an evidential manifestation that someone had been immersed in the Holy Spirit. Not too long ago, Hannah and I realized the Pandora's box had been opened on Zephaniah and Oliver, and I can say this because he's not here anymore, that they had the ability to mark our walls. So they had the revelation, if they took a marker or a crayon and walked over to the wall, as long as it wasn't white, and began to draw on the wall, they had the ability to mark it. Now, the funny thing was, is we realized one day because we saw it. We saw it on the wall. I went over to Zephaniah and I said, Zephaniah, did you take a crayon and mark the wall? He's like, no. I was like, really? Come over with me. Walked over to the wall with him. He's like, what's that? I don't know. Really? Because it looks like the crayon you were just coloring in your coloring book. He's like, I didn't do it, Dada. I didn't do it. It doesn't matter how hard Zephaniah tried to hide it. There was a marking that happened on the wall. Yeah. You know, sometimes as believers, we actually want to try and hide the marking of the Holy Spirit. It's called grieving or blocking the Holy Spirit to move in our life. But the truth is, when you're immersed, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a marking that we shouldn't try to hide because it's meant to give testimony to a supernatural God. See, some of the evidence of the Holy Spirit immersion is, like I already mentioned before, moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can't receive it unless he's given it, but you got to receive it. But you can't receive it unless you've been immersed in him. Part of that is speaking in a heavenly language. We see that today at Pentecost. We see that numerous examples throughout the Bible. Another is boldness in witnessing the gospel. See, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not long before that, he had just betrayed and denied Jesus three different times. And yet there's something that happened between the denying of Jesus and the proclaiming in front of thousands of people. And it was the filling, the immersion of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be what?
So great.
My witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Mark 16 declares that as Christ was ascended and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. You with me today?
Yeah.
Friends, this could be one of the greatest days and encounters that you will ever have in your life. Whether that be saying yes to Jesus Christ, receiving him into your life for the very first time. Or if you've already done that, being willing to say to God, I want more. I want to be able to live the life that you've called me to live.
Yeah.
And in a moment, we're going to open this entire altar area. We're going to pray, believe for encounter, not just for those that have never been immersed in the Holy Spirit, but if you're wanting more, and I'll speak more into that in a moment, but Pneuma East, the church, is called to be people of God following Jesus, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See, our world doesn't need another group of people who are arguing over opinions or preferences. They don't need another group of people who just have a calendar tick box on a Sunday or during the week. They don't need another group of people who are simply following tradition and things for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah.
Now, the world needs a group of people who are serious about following Jesus.
Yeah.
And it requires that you and I are immersed in the Holy Spirit, because if you and I aren't living a supernatural life and supernatural gospel, then we're actually living in the inaccurate view of God and the gospel to the world around about us. See, we as the people of God have been called to be those who move by the power of the Holy Spirit, who choose unity over preference, who choose to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not because of our own personal agendas or sake, but because of the person standing right before us needs to know that God has a plan, a purpose for their life. And I'm telling you, as God has shown me again and again and again, when we get our eyes more off of ourselves and onto those in front of us after we've been immersed in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you're going to begin to move in things like prophecy and of healing and the gifts of faith. Why is that? Because you've been opened and immersed in the Holy Spirit, and now you're a channel, a tunnel for God's supernatural power to work through you, accompanying signs to point to him.
Yep.
So how do we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? We must posture, pray, and embrace. We're going to posture our heart before God. We need to pray to God, and then we just need to embrace his gift, embrace his Spirit. Posturing looks like being open and ready. The first thing is to repent. Repent of old, sinful, fleshly ways. Repent, turn to God, and actually ask him, God, I'm open, I'm ready. It looks like maybe allowing some mindsets to be let go of what Christianity actually looks like. We need to posture ourselves before God. We need to repent and commit to following him. And then we need to surrender our spirit to the Holy Spirit. We need to posture our hearts. We need to pray. Ask God. He declares in his word in Luke 11, if imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more, church, will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask him? And so when we pray, we ask God, we need to be open. We need to surrender our heart. And we just need to allow our heart and tongue to be open to the Spirit of God. We need to ask in faith and expectation, knowing that this word is true. If we ask him, he said he would give it. So if we've repented, we've postured, we've surrendered, and we ask God, we're perfectly placed to begin to be able to receive the immersion, the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then we just simply need to receive and embrace. And Pastor Luke already spoke today about gifts. And the thing with a gift is someone can go through everything to purchase that gift, find a gift, get the gift, and give you the gift. But you have to receive the gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift. The person of the Holy Spirit is not a force to tap into, but a person to be in step with.
Yeah.
The characteristics that begins to operate in us and through you and I. We must posture, pray, embrace, receive it. And we see biblically there's two ways that we can actually be immersed in the Holy Spirit. One, directly from heaven, or two, the laying on of hands. We see in Acts, different scriptures in Luke, where people directly from heaven, there is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They are immersed. There is evidence of that. And they began to then live full of the Holy Spirit. Also, we see there's the laying on of hands. We're in a moment, person of flesh, before the Holy Spirit. Put their hand on a person's shoulder, head, prayed. Come, Holy Spirit. And people were filled. They were immersed in the power, the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't get caught up on the way it happens. Just posture, ask God, and embrace. I'm going to invite the team up. As I mentioned in a moment, we're going to make room for each and every one of us to encounter the Holy Spirit. People be baptized and filled in the Holy Spirit. The reality is, as followers of Jesus, it's not just a one-time event. It's meant to be a daily reality, a constant filling with the Spirit of God. As I mentioned in Acts 4, there is some disciples that were already had been immersed at the day of Pentecost, and yet they went through some stuff. They'd gone through some stuff. Some time had passed between the day of Pentecost, where they're at, and you know what their heart's cry was? God, would you fill us again? God, would you fill us again? Would you fill us with boldness and courage and confidence to preach your word as we ought? And you know what it says? The room shook and they were all filled. They were all filled. They were all filled. They were all immersed. They were all marked by the Holy Spirit. So church, what happened when the early church was marked, was baptized in the Holy Spirit? Revival broke out. See, in Acts 1, Jesus declared the Holy Spirit would come. He said, wait, be filled. And then you're going to go out in power and be my witnesses. And then in Acts 2, we see day Pentecost came. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter stood up and declared a word, the gospel, to the people. And 3,000 people in one day came to have a revelation of the need of Jesus Christ. 3,000 people one day. That was the moment of influence. That was the moment of encounter. You and I may not stand before 3,000 people at one day, one time, but my question is, who are the people that are standing before you and I? Look around for a moment. Turn your head. Would you look around for a moment? This room's full of living people, breathing people. The best way to honor God's word is by realizing there are living and breathing people around you and I who need to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is much more than the excitement of giving someone a prophetic word. I've seen someone healed before your very eyes. The most greatest privilege of being immersed in the Holy Spirit is seeing a life transformed. Yeah. They once were in Christ, an encounter, and now they are. There are living and breathing people that need you to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Just say, God, whatever it takes, I want more of you, to live for you. There's a number of years ago where I was dissatisfied with what I was seeing God do in my life and through me. And I was crying out to God and I was asking God, God, would you let me see more of what I see in the Bible? Your word declares those who follow you would see accompanying signs and wonders. Paul declared it's not with lofty speech and wise words, but with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I went on a time of praying and fasting. Not everyone needs to do that, but I did, because I was so hungry to see more of God. And you know what God said to me? He says, are you really ready? Are you willing to get a little bit out of your comfort zone and maybe look a little bit silly, and at times be rejected by the people that you're going to pray for, and at times be misunderstood, or at times just absolutely be out of your comfort zone, so much so that I can truly move? And I was like, well, I think so. And I kept praying. And then there was one day in an environment like this where someone was praying, they're speaking, and they said, hey, if anyone here wants to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, you want to see God move, you want to be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit, then why don't you come forward? And that person began to pray for people, and some people began to fall over, and I was like, that's a little bit weird. I'm not really used to that. And then I began to remember moments and times early in following Jesus where I began to be a bit skeptical, where I saw things out of my natural intellect and understanding. And it was in that moment the Holy Spirit highlighted and said, would you be willing for that to happen to you? And I was so overcome by desire to see God do supernatural in my life, for other people to come to know Him as I did, that I took a step forward and I walked up to the front and I was wrestling in my mind. I was wrestling there. See, I'd been praying and asking God for more. I thought I was ready to embrace it, but what hadn't yet happened in my heart was a surrendering to the supernatural work of God. And it was as if the exact moment that I had the thought saying, God, whatever, that exact moment, the man put his hand on my head and I went out. I fell down. Doesn't happen to everybody, but I did. And then I got up, not really knowing what had happened, but so overwhelmed by the love of God. Yeah. See, I needed that to happen to me, because I was skeptical of something past my intellect. And then moments later, he got up. He's like, people in this room need healing. They need healing in their spine. They need healing in their bones. And I had a knee disease since childhood in my body that I just thought, it's okay, I'll get used to it. And in that moment, faith was quickened. And I was like, God, I don't want this anymore. So I got up and I went over to a friend, and they prayed for me. And again, I went out on the Holy Spirit. I went out, I fell down. But guess what? I woke up the next day, and not only was my knee healed, but an avulsion in my ankle was healed. My spine was healed. My back was healed. I was the most loose that ever felt my entire body. And there was a joyfulness in me that I had not been experiencing. And I'm telling you today, it's not by forcing, but it's by posturing, by praying and asking God, and simply embracing the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.